There were about 14,463 Uber trips made in each minute of 2022 across the 900 cities where you can get an Uber. Uber, however, didn't say how many of those trips were in electric vehicles. But it does say that it saved over 18 million liters of petrol from the 25,000 EVs in its global fleet. In 2008, Travis Kalanick pitched the idea of Uber to possible investors as the convenience of a cab in New York City, plus the experience of being driven by a professional chauffeur. The idea was to marry these two things together into a luxury experience in San Francisco, where it's near impossible to catch a cab. I'm recording this audio in Cape Town, South Africa, though, a million miles away from the Bay Area and Silicon Valley. My last Uber was in a Suzuki Espresso, and the only Frisco that the driver knows is the coffee that comes in a can. That's why I met up with Uber Southern Africa General Manager Kagiso Kgaole at the Africa Green Economy Summit ahead of Cape Town's first E-Prix, to ask him how Uber is going to revolutionize the way South Africans travel. Again. Welcome to Unencrypted, a weekly podcast that unlocks knowledge about how technology affects your life and beams it directly into your ears. This week's transmission begins now. Cool. Hey, Kagiso from Uber now, formerly from Samsung. What are you trying to pitch? What's your pitch for Uber as a service in South Africa?
So this week we are at Go Green Africa, and that's a new initiative that's just been launched this year. And, you know, at Uber we see this as the South African step to our global commitments. And our commitment is clear. It's got a timeline. It's that we'll become a zero emissions platform by 2040. So that's globally. So in all the regions that Uber operates in, we will do that. And that's quite a mean feat if you think about the fact that there's, you know, millions of trips a day that are happening. But our commitment is to make sure that we transition the business as quickly as possible. So that means working with drivers. That means working with riders, doing education, finding solutions for the real problems that drivers face today, using the platform or trying to get onto the platform with electric vehicles and other green technologies.
Uber Global has just launched electric cars or EVs in India this week. How long before we start seeing those, that kind of infrastructure coming to South Africa? Are you working with a few partners to power that revolution?
Yeah, so these are actions that are currently live. I think as soon as we're in a position also to be able to announce, we'll do that. But there's tremendous interest. And, you know, I always implore the industry as well to make sure that they, you know, reach out to us as well. I think being the largest mobility platform in the world, being a leading platform on this continent as well, there's really a great opportunity to fast track the transition to EV. So if you think about it, there's many people who've never even sat inside that type of vehicle. And this is the first way to experience an EV. You know, the drivers as well, some of the reluctance or perhaps a lack of knowledge around EVs. Uber might be the first place that the individual steps in and starts to experience the cost savings, starts to experience, you know, even the smaller joys. You know, I was in Dubai recently, and I was in a Tesla taking an Uber trip, and that driver just said, you know, started explaining to me about the torque and the power of these vehicles. And he also transitioned to start talking about the savings that he's making on a daily basis. And I'm really keen to get those kind of experiences onto the continent. We've already seen quite a bit of traction with some of the gas conversions we've done, with the hybrids that are already in market as well. But our vision is not, you know, just to transition. It's about getting to that end goal.
So that's a lot of like passenger sort of stuff, which South Africa has seen, and we've seen it grow into the delivery services now. When are we going to start seeing like Uber Transit and Uber Freight and those kinds of things coming to the country?
So you know, when I look forward, you know, the next 5 to 10 years, Uber is a multimodal platform. We already have that in terms of having from motorbikes to tuk-tuks in some areas, all the way up to your Uber vans, which is high capacity vehicles. And the transit feature is something that will be, I believe, will be on our platform in the next coming years. The important thing is to find also the right partners to be able to bring that in. And what does that mean from an actual experience for the riders? This means that you can actually book a trip and see a combination between, let's say, an UberX and the bus. You can see UberX and the train. And that actually helps you get from your house to your destination in what could be an even more affordable way than what we can provide today. And I think the benefit to you know, the public sector and governments is that, you know, Uber has been a leader in terms of bringing demand and the supply together, you know, making a marketplace. And once, you know, we're able to integrate that into the Uber app, I believe a lot more people will start considering some of the other options and finding different ways to get around, which is good for our cities and good for the country.
Talking about that kind of integration with government services, are we going to see some announcements in the future about the green hydrogen economy? Obviously, Uber has the market potential to force like a Toyota to start investing in like green, like hydrogen cell vehicles if it wanted to. And South Africa's moving down that road. We're spending billions of rands on developing that kind of that hydrogen valley that the president was talking about in his State of the Nation address. Is there? Can you confirm or confirm or deny anything?
So currently, there are no plans that I can confirm. I do want to always, you know, remind the public that, you know, for us, if it moves, it can get onto the Uber platform. So from scooters and the like, we are ready. So whether it's leveraging hydrogen, whether it's leveraging battery electric technology, we are ready to incorporate it. And we actually have it broken down in different stages as well. So initially, you'd see an Uber Green product, so to be a separate product similar to Uber X, Uber Black, and Uber Go that the public's familiar with. And eventually, those will just get absorbed into those core products in the future. And we don't need to actually call it out as a standalone. So for the manufacturers that are ready with sort of the hydrogen tech, you know, the infrastructure needs to also develop, you know, some of the interesting challenges that we are looking to solve also for drivers is the downtime with charging. You know, hydrogen is a little bit different. You know, it's a quicker experience, but it's about using our technology to help, you know, even a driver plan their day, you know, making sure that if that low range, we don't dispatch a trip that's going to be longer than the battery that they've got left. And those are real challenges that we're solving today in several markets. And actually, I really look forward to, again, once the manufacturers are ready, to getting these cars into the hands of ordinary South Africans that want to earn on our platform.
And then in closing, just talking about like the economics of it, you guys are the dominant player by far. It's very difficult for other platforms to come into market on this, just because of the mind share that you have among the more affluent consumers. But you're not really addressing the traffic problem. Because it's still like one person, now it's two people in a car, but it's still like one trip, one private trip sort of thing. What's the thinking about Uber's effect on the economy in terms of infrastructure, like carrying all of your cars, all of those trips, that degradation on like the South African economy? Like, how are you giving back? And how are you moving forward to improve those kinds of experiences for riders?
Yes, I think those are some really keen observations. You know, when we start thinking about congestion or occupancy of vehicles, so we've got products currently live in several markets across Africa. It's called Uber X Share. Yeah. And that's where we allow, you know, people to be paired together on trips. I think there's definitely opportunity for, you know, those kind of products to be explored. Again, it's, you know, as we walk this journey, you know, we like to make sure that the marketplace is prepared for that. I think it's working with other players as well to ensure that this has a net benefit for the economy. But that's technology, that's products that are already live and and are available in markets, and something that we can look to bring in. And I think, you know, one of the successes from our side, it's always been around our focus on the customer. I think there's quite a bit of competition and lots of new entrants that come in, but I think our focus on safety, our focus on ensuring that there's a better ride experience has really helped us. And I think the South African public has shown that in terms of their preferences and decisions around their ride-sharing partner of choice.
So you guys aren't going to be investing in, like, building bridges and roads and stuff?
I think, you know, this conference really encouraged me that there's a lot of players thinking about a lot of the pieces that need to be combined to get this green South Africa story together, and green and broader Green Africa story. And, you know, we see ourselves as a part of that picture and looking forward to partner and work with a lot of these institutions. You know, I think the Western Cape government is doing quite a lot of work, and it's really interesting to see they're thinking about sort of multimodal transportation and us as a platform, and, you know, how can we, you know, offer this technology to help fast track and accelerate some of that work.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for chatting to us. And yeah, just a final thing, like, you guys have forced a lot of changes in society, which I think is going to be a net benefit. And yeah, keen to see what Uber Africa, or at least Uber Southern Africa, is going to go forward with you at the helm.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm really excited about what's coming up. So I think there's going to be quite a lot of innovation. I think end of last year we announced a ton of new products, expansions across the continent, new safety features. We launched the audio recording feature, which is excellent. So I do look forward to making a lot more announcements within the safety space, within new products, and overall just making Uber the best platform for getting from A to B. Yeah.
Travis Kalanick sold the dream of convenience, not a product that would save the world.
So this, you can't see really well because of all the lights, but it's a romantic shot in front of the Eiffel Tower with me and my co-founder, Garrett Camp. Some of you guys may know him. He was the founder of StumbleUpon. It was in Paris at Le Web where we came up with this idea. Essentially, you know, he said, look, I just want to push a button and get a ride. You know, let's make it a classy ride. And that's kind of how we started. Paris, in many ways, is a sister city of San Francisco. Impossible to get a cab there. So this is something from the past. This is what we call hailing. I'm not sure if you guys have ever done that, but some people actually put their arm out to get a cab. I don't know what's going on. It's a weird thing, but this is what we used to see in San Francisco. I went through that. When we first started, actually, it wasn't about taking over the world. It wasn't about taking on corruption in every city around the world. It was actually just about being baller in San Francisco. And the only way to do it, the original idea was, let's go buy 10 S-classes, let's hire 20 drivers, and let's get a parking garage. And I'm like, Garrett, we're not buying any cars, dude. And we're not signing any lease on a parking garage. But the idea of pushing a button and getting a ride in within minutes was a magical one. And at the beginning, it was a lifestyle thing. It was S-classes for us and our 100 friends. And so that's where it started. In order to use the app, anybody could download it, but in order to use it, you had to have a special code that I gave you. And pretty soon the inbox was just getting full of people who wanted the code because our friends were telling their friends, and then...
Whichever way you slice it, Uber doesn't solve traffic problems or reduce emissions. But it could. Those 25,000 EVs currently in the global fleet will be joined by 25,000 more that will flood the streets of India by 2026. This will allow the ride-hailing pioneers to easily reach its target of 50,000 by 2030. Again, a convenient solution to a real problem. Uber wants to be a technology platform. one that connects riders to an interconnected network of mobility solutions. Uber Transit, for instance, is not public transport, but it's the app interfacing with bus and train services. But South Africa is still miles away from striking a manufacturing EV adoption deal like the Indian one, or even scaling the Gautrain to operate in other cities. But EVs and other modes of transport are beginning to trickle to our shores, and our local production lines are slowly making room for more alternative energy transport options. But that's a story for another day. As always, Unencrypted is brought to you by the good people at Advert, Africa's only virtual advertising company that can put your brand on the biggest sports stage in the world. Visit addirtt.com, that's addirtt.com, to take your brand out of the frame and into the action.